America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is The Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day for President Biden. Well, not exactly, no, but he was better than he was in his last speech to the public about the ongoing crisis in Afghanistan. There is also this unbelievable series of stories about a revolution. Was it too soon already against the Taliban? Should the United States play a role? Nobody thinks so seriously, not until we clarify the role that we have right now and the president actually does something about drawing people safely home from Afghanistan, not just Americans, but the SIVs, which they have talked about, special immigration places that would go for people. This special immigration status that they are actually working on trying to get for some of the people who worked with us as translators and others who cooperated with Americans, who of course are now facing death. Speaking of facing death, a homeless guy here in Seattle is killed while busy attacking a couple in a car with a baby who were trying to recover some stolen property from him. It sounds like the couple that ran over him and killed him and dragged him 30 feet are not going to be charged. Why not? Speaking of being charged, Lindsey Graham, before Biden got up and spoke today, floated the idea, which is actually a profoundly stupid idea, to impeach President Biden regarding the situation in Afghanistan. One of the things that I think recent history has taught is it's an incredibly stupid deal to launch any kind of impeachment effort against a sitting president, unless there's the actual commission of a crime and overwhelming bipartisan support. The people who drafted the Constitution did not have it in mind that you would have basically, now we're going to get even with the Democrats for trying twice to impeach Trump. Well, look, the truth is the Democratic attempt to impeach Trump was always stupid, and I always denounced it as a ridiculous idea in both impeachment attempts because it had no chance of succeeding. And what's wrong with Lindsey Graham? He was part of the leadership intending to impeach Bill Clinton, which damaged the Republican Party and damaged the country, just as the Trump impeachments did. Attempted impeachments and removal from office. They succeeded in impeaching him twice. So what? Right now, what we need is a change in focus from the Biden administration. We may have gotten some of that from Joe Biden himself. And in fact, some of the audio from Joe Biden is much stronger, a little bit clearer about concerning what he has in mind in the next few weeks. But we're also getting more from a Pentagon briefing that just began moments ago from Major William Taylor, speaking about the flight operations. Here's what he's saying right at the moment. Listen.
Members, our partners who remain in Kabul alongside us and the Afghan people is absolutely our top priority. I want to reinforce that we are focused on the mission of this great national importance. The massive effort is the result of teamwork and the tireless commitment of U.S. military to supporting the U.S. government around the world. Mr. Kruger.
Thank you, General. Okay, Bob, there you are.
Hey, John.
Not your normal seat.
Thank you. President Biden, in his remarks earlier today, made a reference to having, I forget what word he used, but essentially rescued 169 Americans outside, beyond the perimeter, I believe he said. Can you explain what that was, how that happened, what happened?
Yeah, he's referring to a small number of people that that our troops they were very close to the perimeter, the perimeter of the airport. very close. And in a short amount of time, with a short amount of distance, some of our troops were able to go out there and retrieve them and bring them in.
Just on foot, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's 169 Americans, or do you know the breakdown?
I don't have the breakdown of the of everybody.
And then a related question would be, has there been any further consideration to going further beyond the perimeter to do that?
Well, you heard the president today say that he wants to do whatever is going to be necessary to rescue Americans and our Afghan partners in need. I'm not going to speculate one way or another about potential future operations. The main focus is on security at the airport and making sure that, as the general said, that air operations resume and continue as unimpeded as possible. But clearly, we will be prepared and postured if we had to do something additional. But I won't speculate right now.
Are basically echoing what the president said moments ago. President was about an hour late to his scheduled remarks. He spoke in front of Kamala Harris and in front of a masked Tony Blinken, who is the Secretary of State. And here is the most important aspect of the president's statement and what he said that I think was meant to convey some kind of message of resolution to the American people. Not very effectively, however. This is President Biden, clip 14.
But let me be clear. Any American who wants to come home, we will get you home. But make no mistake, this evacuation mission is dangerous. It involves risks to our armed forces, and it's being conducted under difficult circumstances. I cannot promise what the final outcome will be, or what it will be that it will be without risk of loss. But as Commander-in-Chief, I can assure you that I will mobilize every resource necessary. And as an American, I offer my gratitude to the brave men and women of the U.S. Armed Forces who are carrying out this mission.
The one thing that he did not make entirely clear is that he will carry out the mission as long as it takes. There is a deadline that has been set up for August 31st. And that is basically supposed to be the limit of what this mission involves. It will probably take longer than that, and I would imagine that President Biden would demand longer than that for a timeline. He also talked about his commitment to getting out the Afghans who aided the United States, saying, yes, we are making the same commitment. This is clip 15.
Would you make the same commitment to bring out Afghans who assisted in the war effort?
Yes. Yes, we're making the same commitment. There's no one more important than bringing American citizens out. I acknowledge that. But they're equally important almost as all those who, those SIVs, we call them, who in fact helped us. They were translators. They went into battle with us. They were part of the operation.
And it is precisely those people and how many thousand of them where it's difficult to place them. There is a struggle going on concerning the limits at Qatar, at the nation of Qatar, one of our Gulf state allies, that actually has said they will take up to 8,000 people, but no more. The question is, how many Afghan refugees are you willing to take? There are some Republican governors who have offered space and time and place for some Afghan refugees, but not for unlimited amounts. Remember, this is very different from what went on, and it was a disastrous mistake, in my opinion, by Bill Clinton with the importation of Somali refugees who had no history of working with the United States against radical Islamic terrorists. Movement of hundreds of thousands of Somali refugees, much less focused and much more unlimited. Let us hope that this one maintains some limits and some kind of transparency and some kind of a limitation, at least, upon duly vetting people before they come forward for the United States of America. Will they be sent to the island of Guam? Will they tip it over, as a previous Democrat, Hank Johnson of Georgia, once believed could be possible? We'll talk about that and more coming up on The MedVet Show.
Hello.
Michael Medved show, you remember the old slogan, remember the Alamo, an Alamo that helped the Texicanos, then known as the Revolutionary Party during the Texan War for Independence. Militarily, the sacrifice at the Alamo, which was profoundly courageous, was also profoundly misguided. They had been ordered to evacuate an indefensible position. They didn't. They all died. Speaking of indefensible positions in Texas, the battle bore by the part of the Texican Democrats to try to block a vote on voter reform and voter integrity reform by the Texan Republicans, that seemed pointless. It seemed provoking various attempts to arrest the Democrats to bring them forward back to form a quorum and to put the Texican voting reform forward. That seemed doomed from the very beginning, and it apparently was. The Texans broke ranks. There were three. There may end up being more. Various Democratic members of the Texas legislature who came home from their runaway attempt in Washington, D.C., and are going to be voting against the reform, but that doesn't matter because the Democrats do not control either house of the Texas legislature. The Republicans do. So somehow democracy is going to have to survive with a ban of all-night voting in all in Harris County, Texas, which always seemed a totally failed and pointless fight. That, at least, the latest information from sources at the Texas legislature, where a new quorum has now been raised. Okay, while the new quorum has been raised in the Texas legislature, and while there is other political news, there is still lots of questions that President Biden made in his statements today, this morning, about the progress of the effort to get people out of harm's way through the airport in Kabul. And this is the Hamid Karzai International Airport. Biden remarked about those 6,000 American troops at the Kabul airport and the claim just made that some 18,000 Americans and Afghans have already escaped. That was a claim made in that Pentagon press briefing that we heard a little bit about. Here is a Biden reporting, clip 16, about the number of American troops at the Kabul airport and what exactly they are doing. Listen.
Almost 6,000 of America's finest fighting men and women at the Kabul airport. And we're putting their lives on the line, and they're doing it in a dangerous place to save other Americans, our Afghan allies, and citizens of our allies who went in with us. You know, I talk to our commanders on the ground there every single day, as I just did an hour or so ago. And I made it clear to them that we'll get them whatever they need to do the job. They're performing to the highest standard under extraordinarily difficult and dynamic circumstances.
Okay. And the generals apparently working with the president. I think everyone agrees that despite the chaos that was been imposed by the administration's own incompetence, the people on the ground around Kabul Airport are doing as reasonable a job as they can and constructive as job as they can. But while he was asking questions at his press conference earlier today, moments ago, actually, President Biden made several statements that were simply not true. And one of them, anyone who listens to this show can certify, is not true. He suggests that our allies are totally behind, without any questions, what we are doing in Afghanistan. Listen to what he had to say. This is clip 11.
I have seen no question of our credibility from our allies around the world. I've spoken with our NATO allies. We've spoken with NATO allies, the Secretary of State. Our national security advisor has been in contact with his counterparts throughout the world and our allies, as has the general, I keep calling him a general, but my Secretary of Defense. The fact of the matter is, I have not seen that. As a matter of fact, the exact opposite I've got. The exact opposite thing is we're acting with dispatch. We're acting, committing to what we said we would do. Look, let's put this thing in perspective here. What interest do we have in Afghanistan at this point?
What interest do we have in Afghanistan at this point? And the president never expressed it nearly clearly enough, is to prevent at all costs the return of Al-Qaeda. And to prevent new menace to the American homeland. The whole reason we went into Afghanistan in the first place was basically to deal a crippling blow, and they dealt that crippling blow, did the American military and the Bush administration, at a time when there was tremendous momentum that had been granted because of their, quote, success in the terrorist attack of September 11th. All of a sudden, America struck back with a swift and successful military mission, dislodging the Taliban and ending Afghanistan as a base of operations for evildoers. That's part of the mission of what we are doing now, because you will not be able to stop those evildoers at all if you end up cooperating with and, in fact, reinforcing and gaining illegitimacy for the Taliban, which remains a terror-supporting Islamic extremist organization with bloods on its hands, and an extraordinary amount of blood as well. And when Biden says he's seen no questioning of our place on the world stage by our allies, first of all, that goes against the fact that he hadn't spoken to any of our allies. Secretary Lloyd Austin, General Austin, as Biden prefers to refer to him, has certified that in the days immediately after the U.S.'s decision and the days immediately before, there were several days he didn't talk to anybody because he was away at Camp David. And then finally, he spoke very briefly with Boris Johnson. But in terms of consulting and working in concert with our NATO allies, that wasn't there. We have General Barry McCaffrey, 4-star general who has a considerable experience serving presidents of both parties. We will be back with General McCaffrey on The Michael Medved Show. Not only earned three Purple Hearts in combat, he has served 4 combat tours, and he's earned 4 stars as a United States Army general, retired. General McCaffrey has also played a prominent role as an advisor to several presidents and served as drug czar, leading the all-important war on drugs, which I believe continues to be all an important war, given the level of drug deaths recently. But right now, he has also said that we are in a perilous position militarily during the evacuation from Afghanistan. What exactly is the greatest risk to the United States and the mission we're carrying out right now, General McCaffrey?
Well, look, I think what is not at risk is the security of the evacuation airfield just outside of Kabul. We have the better part of 7 battalions on the ground. They're supported by U.S. Air Force and Naval Air Power. The Taliban want us out. We are negotiating with them. We sent Major General Chris Donahue over there, a very experienced officer with years in Afghanistan. So I think that part's okay. The difficulty, of course, is that the Taliban hold all the cards. Essentially, they control the perimeter. They're going to allow people through or not, depending on their own judgment. Meaning to me, they're going to sort out the people who they see as enemies from the former regime. They're probably going to let the U.S. citizens go into the airfield with passports, as though surprisingly few Americans have actually been pulled out so far. And then finally, I think we need to recognize that Taliban can control that airspace and interdict the airfield anytime they want. They just say, it's our sovereign airspace, we're closing it down, we'll fire on your aircraft if we're forced to. So we've got to play very carefully with them in public and in private, trying to achieve our purpose of evacuating tens of thousands of people, if possible, and do so without getting in additional combat.
Speaking of additional combat, what do you think the United States should do to make sure that we don't open up an opportunity for the Taliban to bring back their al-Qaeda allies and their terrorist training bases, the bases on which we struck at them at the first time 20 years ago?
Yeah, well, of course, that's a good question. The situation at 9/11, though, we need to recognize a lot of it was built on our reaction on outrage, anger at thousands of Americans being murdered. Essentially, the first time since Pearl Harbor that someone had struck at us like that. So it wasn't just going after some training bases for Osama bin Laden and his cohort. It was also an act of retribution, and I fully supported it then and still do. The situation has changed dramatically in a global sense. First of all, the United States is far better prepared today to protect the homeland from terrorist attack, which is still a huge threat to the American people. The FBI, local law enforcement, the CIA, border controls, I think all of it is immensely more capable today. And we do have a global intelligence presence. I don't see a continued presence of al-Qaeda. They're still in Afghanistan, and so is ISIS. But I don't see that as necessarily a launch point against the United States. There's a bunch of other places we've got to watch. I mean, we're watching East Africa, we're watching Yemen, we're watching Paraguay border in Latin America, for God's sake. So that isn't a major concern to me.
What about the other nations in that part of Central Asia and Tajikistan and Uzbekistan and Kazakhstan, all of the stands, and the potential alignment with the interests of President Putin and his attempt to restructure a Russian empire in that part of the world? Is that a concern for our military and diplomatic planners?
Well, I think we're going to take into account, and look, there's no question that the regional powers, the Iranians, Pakistanis in particular, never mind victim states like the Central Asian Republics or the Chinese or their economic interests, they're all going to have to take into account, how are we going to deal with the Taliban control of Afghanistan and with their immense amounts of military technology and weapons that just fell into their hands from the Afghan security forces. And it may not be a very good deal for them. I mean, Pakistan has their own ungoverned tribal areas, their own Taliban, who are a tremendous threat to their government, their military, their police forces. So this is not a good deal for the regional powers either. Now, having said all that, it seems to me that we still have some minor leverage over the Taliban. We can turn off their international aid, which, of course, would primarily affect the 40 million Afghans. We've got a hold of most of their cash reserves, some $7 billion in the U.S. Federal Reserve Bank in New York City, and we've already turned that off. So we've got some influence over them, but largely they don't give a hoot what we have to say. They're going to look to their own internal governments reestablishing Sharia law. They're going to look to their friends, the Pakistanis and the Chinese, primarily going forward.
There's a point made today by a very prominent scholar who leans to the left, Michael Kazin, who says that President Biden's only hope of redeeming the situation will involve him acknowledging that he made some major mistakes. Do you think that advice is accurate?
You know, I actually don't. You know, there's 100 voices being raised on how he should deal with this and his personal failure. It's an obvious mess. It's a huge negative impact on U.S. foreign policy globally and will remain so. The country will argue it out over the next 25 years. It was his elective choice to pull the plug on the U.S. troop presence, particularly at Bagram Airfield, that was the critical event that started the unraveling of the Afghan security forces. I don't see how in the longer run, in another 3 months or another year, it would have turned out any different. I think two things happened. One is the administration and everyone else got caught completely by surprise at the rapidity with which the Afghan security forces evaporated. They didn't go down fighting, they surrendered. The Taliban had a better political message, and they won. And they won instantaneously in 11 days from village level all the way up to the federal Afghan government. And, you know, I don't think there's any two ways about that. So right now, he's got a real mess on his hands. I think the armed forces have stepped in and done pretty well. We will not get out all the Afghans who supported us. I mean, that's a silly expectation. I think we'll probably get most of the Americans out by the 31st, and then they'll dribble out mostly unimpeded over the coming year or so. This was a collapse that is going to be very hard to manage, and it's a sort of a shameful event. But Biden ran for office saying, I'm going to get us out of Afghanistan. I reluctantly, painfully think he was right, and this is the outcome.
We'll talk about that and whether it is right to avoid acknowledging mistakes where they may well have been made, I think certainly have been made, in implementation. That and more. General McCaffrey, as always, appreciate your wisdom and your service to our country. We will be right back on the Medved Show. Michael Medved Show. It's not all grim news from Afghanistan. Mostly, it's very, very grim news from Afghanistan. But there was an announcement on Russian TV. I don't even know how RTV is doing right now, now that Larry King is gone and Ed Schultz is gone from RTV. They're actually gone from the world. But with Russian TV, and this is international Russian TV, broadcast not only in Putin's Russia, but all around the place, there's a very popular and glamorous co-host of the sponsored by Vladimir Putin state TV show 60 Minutes. Her name is Olga Skabiva. And during Tuesday's broadcast of her nightly news update, she said, "You won't believe this, but even Afghan head cutters from the Taliban turned out to be better crisis managers than the civilized peacemakers from the United States. Today, they acknowledged publicly and without question that women are people."
I am woman, hear me roar, in numbers too big to ignore, and I know too much to go back.
They go on to say that in a great triumph for women everywhere, the Taliban recognized women are fully human and they can even work. Not everywhere, of course, but in some places. And she says, let's calm down. They will be stoning women solely when it's based on a court order. And that's perfectly civilized, right? You get a court order, and you know that a Taliban court is going to be reliable. Seething about the Taliban's approach to women, Skabiba pointed out, "There's no one else we can talk to in Afghanistan." She blamed the United States, of course, for not training locals who may disagree with the Taliban's ways. Okay, blaming the U.S. for the Taliban, and this goes along with other Russian media that have posted new information. They did an article in a Russian state media where the article went on to say that the Taliban was displaying unprecedented liberalism toward the Taliban's attitude toward women by allowing them to work even in television. The article went on to say, while the West anticipated the coming assault on women's rights, everything turned out to be not so scary. Earlier this week, Rossiya 24, Stas Natanzon, and it's a Russian national broadcast network, pointed out that according to the ambassador to Afghanistan from Russia, Dmitry Zhimkov, Kabul is a much more peaceful place under Taliban rule than it ever was under the United States. The program showcased a clip of what appeared to be jolly Taliban members at the amusement park. It's hilarious to watch. You should see it. They're riding bumper cars while wearing turbans and carrying submachine guns, and seem to be having a blast with the bumper cars. It looks like a lot of fun there under the Taliban. The program showcased a clip of what appeared to be jolly Taliban members at the amusement park. They were going for a spin on a carousel and riding around in bumper cars. And they even showed them lifting up their long cloaks to go for a spin on the trampoline. They were jumping high on the trampoline. And Natanzin complained that compared to the group's customary rules, the new and improved Taliban would allow women uncommon rights and entitlements, including even ability perhaps to ride the bumper cars. Except that was a little bit late in coming. According to new information they reported the next day, which was Wednesday, the Taliban is not what it used to be. Unthinkably, they even permitted golf and soccer. And then the state TV's Channel 1 used the same jolly videos with correspondent Yulia Chivoskaya saying the atmosphere in Kabul is so calm that the Taliban fighters are riding carousels like children and jumping around happily on trampolines. A day later, they burned the amusement park to the ground. Yeah, bumper cars and all. The Taliban reported Russian TV had just announced amnesty and went on TV to promise peace in all of Afghanistan, but then they burned down the amusement park where they recently had so much fun. The Taliban probably objected to the horses on the merry-go-round. For them, those horses are prohibited, as a form of idolatry. Well, it's more than that. One of my most horrifying stories about the Gaza handover in 2005 is before the Israelis left and handed Gaza basically over to crazies from Hamas, there was a Palestinian entrepreneur who was doing a nice thing. Gaza's very hot. It's also a very scenic location on the Mediterranean. The ocean's very beautiful there. And there was this individual who was building, he said, the world's largest water park, and it had gigantic water slides. And it did. I'd never visited there, but it looked pretty cool. And people from Gaza, he was opening it up to, for people to come in at very low cost to ride the water slides. And it's a nice thing. You know, everybody can use a little relaxation, even terrorists, maybe especially terrorists. In any event, Hamas declared that this big water theme park that was supposed to have cost millions to construct was un-Islamic. Why? Because women were actually wearing bathing costumes while they were riding the water slides. Of course, strictly prohibited, and I think that there was a great fear that who knows what women might do, going crazy if they were riding bumper cars. So the, and this is true, you can look it up, the Hamas authorities burned down every scrap of that water slide. It no longer exists. It was destroyed, kind of part of a minimum of what they destroyed. And I think for the same reason, is it fair to say that really the Taliban are not noted for their fun-loving ways? People who execute people and do public, the biggest form of public entertainment that they sponsored during their years actually running Afghanistan had to do with public executions at soccer stadiums. Yeah, really, with cheering crowds. I mean, Roman Empire stuff, except much worse. And the idea that they might object to the horses because of idolatry. Look, why did they tear down the nation's biggest tourist attraction? Really? The Bamiyan Buddhas. And there was just a correction in the New York Times. They said, well, those Buddhas were built 800 years ago. They were not. They were built 1,500 years ago. And when you are dealing with people of a medieval personality, well, it's not going to go so well for you. This from the Washington Post. Several female presenters for Afghan state television have said this week that Taliban fighters barred them from working, ordering them out of the office in an ominous sign of the group's views on the role of women in public life. Shabnam Dharan, a news presenter for Radio Television Afghanistan, said in a video message Wednesday that she was threatened by Taliban militants when she showed up for work. Now, it used to be in old communist regimes, if you didn't show up for work, you got threatened. But here she did, and there's even a CNN headline. And the CNN headline says, no one trusts anything that comes from the Taliban's mouth, or frankly, from any other part of them. And too bad. I do hope we can post our website some of this video of the jolly Taliban as they are described with their weapons on their laps, riding squeezed into their little bumper cars. In a place like Afghanistan where so people have real cars, but again, at least maybe they're following some global warming edicts from the UN. We will give you the very latest in some of the ongoing culture wars, not in Afghanistan, but right here in the United States. We will also be taking a look at some very scary movies meant to scare everything out of you that are being released today in this greatest nation on God's green earth.